we're in a new study called Rewritten, Exchanging Your Story for God's Story. By the way, I want to thank you guys. You know, Heather and I wrote the book, Rewritten. It just got released this week, and it's getting released to other bookstores in other parts of the country next week. And this week, by the grace of God and by y'all's encouragement and love and checking in on Facebook, Rewritten book, we had over 10,000 Facebook fans hit We Like Rewritten Book. And so, hey, thank you guys, and to the glory of God. We're having people from all around the world check in, and the message that God has a better story for you and I than the one that we have currently made up for ourselves is a powerful story that's resonating. If you haven't had a chance to do so, as I mentioned, we'd like to give you the book for free. And to do so, just go to Rewritten Book on Facebook, and you can go to the contest, click into the contest, and then when the contest gets to a certain level, they'll send you an email and deliver to you the book, if that's okay. So we'd be honored to be able to get that to you free, just our way. By the way, if you want to purchase a book, we don't have any available for purchase. We'll have those available next week. And then some of the proceeds of the purchase of those books goes to our Feed the City ministry. And so what some people are doing, they're checking in, getting a free book, and then they're buying a book to give to a friend to help feed the city. Well, hey, what a great, great thing that God has been doing. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of it. We had a man get baptized. Matt, what was his name that was in? Mike got baptized in the first service. And if you haven't had a chance to get baptized and you've received Christ as your Savior, Matt's going to be right here at the end of this service. And if you prayed and received Christ as your Savior, Matt would love to be able to baptize you. And we'll just celebrate there. We have clothes for you to change into. We'd be honored to be able to do that. Hey, turn with me to Judges chapter 13. If you have your Bibles or your phones, or you can look up online right there. You know what? God has a plan to help rewrite your story. And one of the key things that God does to help rewrite your story is He gives you and I life opportunities. In fact, He's given us five different life opportunities that God uses to help rewrite our story back into the story He originally designed and created our life to be. Because God desires to bless your life, because God desires His plan for your life, and He knows it's better than the plans that you and I put together on our own, then God gives us five life opportunities. And one of those life opportunities that God loves to use to rewrite your story and my story, to bring it back to the story He originally created for our lives, is the area of generosity. The reason why generosity is so important to God, the reason why God uses generosity to rewrite your story back to the story He originally created for your life, is what generosity does is it repurposes and refocuses my life from focusing on myself and my needs to focusing on other people and the plan that God has for my life. And so what happens is I am living life self-focused, self-aware, thinking about what I can do to spend my life the best way I can spend it. And then I start saying, God, I want to live a generous life. And the moment I do that, the moment I start placing my talents and my time and my energy and my life under the authority of God's hand, under the authority of God, and I say, God, I surrender to You my life, then God starts making me aware of people and opportunities and circumstances that I had previously missed, that I've been previously blind to, and God gives me the opportunity to start serving people, start helping people, being aware of people's needs around me that before then I had never seen before. And so God's generous, and He loves generosity, and He loves helping to make you generous. In fact, when He said it's more blessed to give than receive, He was talking about Himself. He got more out of giving than receiving. In fact, there's a promise about giving and being generous in Luke 6:38. You might want to turn there, because in Luke 6:38, it says, give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, with good measure. For with the measure you use, God says, I'll measure it back to you. God says, you set the pace and I'll follow your lead. You set the amount and I'll follow your lead. You set the amount of generosity and I'll be generous back to you. In fact, there's a promise there. I don't want you to miss it. The reason why God is so big about generosity is that God wants to see that displayed in your life. And listen, the further I walk towards people and their needs, the more I'm aware about my life as a surrendered vehicle, as a surrendered vessel to God, and I'm seeing people in circumstances like I've never seen them before, the further I move away from my past story and the more I move to the story that God created me to be and for God created me to have. And he says, listen, as you give, God says, I'll give back to you. As you measure it out, you measure in a stingy way, you measure in a careful way. God says, I'll measure in a careful way with you. You measure in a stingy way, God says, I'll measure in a stingy way with you. God says, you measure in a generous way, God says, I'll measure in a generous way with you. I will look for you, I will find you, and I will show you generosity. Several months ago, my dad was said to me, man, your windows on your car are really, really dirty. So I'm going to wash those. And so he caught me later that week and goes, hey, by the way, on Sunday morning, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I washed your windows. I was at the church on Sunday, and I just went by, and I grabbed some water and a squeegee, and I washed your window. I says, well, thank you, Dad. And so then the next week, he goes, man, your windows keep getting dirty. He said, I look, and they're just dirty again. He goes, I don't know what you're doing, but I went ahead and washed your windows again. And I said, well, thanks, Dad. And then it was on a Tuesday. He said, Bruce, I just drove by the church here, and I saw you must have been here in a meeting or something. And, man, your windows keep getting so dirty. I stopped and I washed your windows again. How do you get them so dirty? And I said, Dad, Tuesday I wasn't at the office. I was in a meeting outside of the office. And I said, where was my car parked on the Sundays that you've been washing my car? He goes, well, right outside the church. I said, no, I always park on Dixon Avenue. Listen, if you have a white Yukon, you have my dad, Dr. Moore, as your personal detail man. God's looking after you. Listen, once generosity flows through your life, you have the God of the universe looking after your business. He's looking after you. And so God says, listen, if you'll be a vehicle to others, I'll be a vehicle to you. If you'll fill other people's cups, I'll fill your cup. There's a man in Judges chapter 13 that understood this. In Judges chapter 13, his name was Samson. This guy actually had been a Nazarite from his birth. What that means is that he had committed to no wine. He had committed to no touching anything dead. And he had committed to never cutting his hair. Generosity takes place when I say, God, all my life is at your disposal. God, everything in my life is under your control. God, my talents and my gifts and my abilities, God, I'm placing my relationships are all under your authority. God, they're all under your control. And he had done that with his life, and as a result, God had been generous back to him. In fact, the scripture says that Samson was very strong. In fact, he was so strong because he had kept this covenant, because he had placed everything under the covenant control of God. God had brought blessings back into his life because he was generous in his obedience to God. God was generous back to him. And it's interesting that the scriptures talk about what happened with his life. One day, his parents were resting on the side of the road, and he walked down to the end of the road, and he saw this crazy lion that was hurting other people, and he went and he killed the lion with his own hands. Another time, his wife was killed, and as a result, he took a jawbone and he killed 1,000 men just to revenge the death of his wife. One day, just because he could, he grabbed 300 foxes, and he tied them together, tied their tails together. Do you know how hard it is to catch a fox? I mean, some of you single guys are going, tell me about it. So, it's tough. One day, just because he could, he saw the gates to the front entrance of the city, and he just picked them off their hinges and threw them to the side. This guy had the blessing of God looking after him because he had placed his life under the blessing. He was generous in his obedience, and God was generous back to him. Does that make sense? And so he said, God, my whole life's at your disposal. God, whatever you want is yours. And in Judges chapter 13:4, it says that he was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. And he will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. God had a blessing, a favor on his life from the time he was born. There was something about his life. There was an X factor about his life. There was something about his life that he was heir to the throne of the blessings of God, and God owned everything. And because of that, there was something unexplainable about his life. There was something that was mystical about his life. There was something that was different about his life. And when he, as long as he placed his life under the covenant blessings of God, as long as he said, God, everything I have is under your disposal. God, my whole life is available for you. Then God's generosity followed him. Until one day he decided not to be so generous. Till one day he decided to not be obedient. And he started playing around with the things that God had entrusted him to. This beautiful woman that was from the enemy nation, the Philistines, was sent to be able to seduce him. And she came to him, and they were lying on a couch once, and she was so beautiful. And she said, listen, I really care about you. You are so special. You're so significant in my life. I think this relationship's going someplace. And so he's just buying the whole thing. I mean, he's buying the whole truckload. He's loving the whole thing. And she says to him, what is the source of your strength, Samson? You're so strong. He says, I'll tell you the source of my strength. He says, the source of my strength is if you were to take 7 bows of string and tie them around me, I'd be powerless. And so while he was sleeping, she tied 7 bows of string around him, and she said, hey, the enemy's upon you. The enemy, the Philistines, upon you. And he broke the strings off. And then the next night, the next day, she said, oh, Samson, you lied to me. What was the source of your strength? Well, if you take 7 green ropes and you tie them around me, I'm powerless. And she said, okay. And that night he went to sleep, and that night he tied those 7 green ropes around him, and she said, hey, the Philistines, your enemy's upon you. And he broke open the strings like nobody's business. And the next night, she said, you keep lying to me. And she goes, tell me for sure what the source of your strength is. And he says, well, listen, if you take my hair and you braid it together in sections and weave it together into a loom, then he goes, I'm powerless. And that night she said to him, this is the third night, by the way, she says to him, your enemy's upon you. And he wakes up from a deep sleep, and he breaks the loom. And she says, no. The next night, Sammy, you've lied to me 3 times. I don't know where this relationship's going. She says, what are we going to do? My mom says I shouldn't be with you. You can here's the truckload backing up. Beep, 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 beep. Watch out, Samson. You're playing with managing your own life. You're playing with taking back under the authority of God what you've covenanted to God, never to have your hair cut off, never to touch wine, never to touch anything dead. You have been under the control and authority of God, and when you've placed yourself under that, God has placed over you his blessings. By the way, when you get under what God is over, God will get over what's underneath him. When you get under the blessings of God, God will bring his blessings to live in your life, and he's starting to manage things, and he thinks he can play with on his own. He thinks he can play with this time on his own. He thinks he can play with his relationships on his own. He thinks he can play and manage life by himself and make decisions apart from prayer and make relationships apart from the guidance of God and make a lot of things take place apart from God. God, that's fine. That happened for a while, but God, I'm strong enough. I'm able enough. And she says, what's the secret? And he says, I'll tell you what the secret is. And this time he tells her the real secret. He says, I made a covenant with God. If my hair ever gets cut off, my hair ever gets shaved, he says, then I'm toast, I'm powerless. And that night while he was asleep, she shaved him. She cut off his hair. And he became powerless. And the Philistines this time really did come in, and they really did do something to him, and they took advantage of him, and they bound him. They shaved him where he was bald, and they took advantage of him, and they bound him, and they blinded him. And now look at Samson. Samson now is no longer under the authority and the freedom of God. He no longer has his life under the authority of God. Therefore, the blessings of God are no longer on top of him. And it says that they have him on a gristmill. And all he's doing is just walking. And he's working for somebody he never thought he'd work for. He is a prisoner. There's nothing happening in his life. Until one day, he thinks to himself, listen, maybe God would be gracious to me. Maybe I could place my life back under the authority of God, and God would place his blessings back on top of my life. He thought, it's too good to be true. It'll never happen. And then he starts thinking, maybe it would happen. Maybe it could happen. And in Judges 16:22. I want you to see this right here. Because there may be a time in your life where you are more generous than you are right now. There might have been a time in your life where every part of your life was under the authority of God. There might have been a time in your life where you say, listen, God, when I first committed my life to Christ, when I first started following after God, man, I said, God, whatever you want. Or when I was in that real problem, man, I said, God, whatever you want. God, my life, my relationships, my time, my money, they're all under your authority. God, I will do whatever you ask me to do. And you placed, listen, you place your life under the authority of God, and God places blessings over you. You were generous with everything that God gave you. When we had to feed the city, we were there. When you got a paycheck, man, you gave your tithe the first to God. Man, when there was a place to serve, man, you found a place to serve right here. And you were generous with the things that God had entrusted you, and you were generous to the things that God had asked you to be a part of. And there was a blessing that came from that. But then there was something you pulled back. And he pulled back, and suddenly he's thinking, could God ever bless me again? I want you to see in verse 22, but before long, it says his hair began to grow back. Then verse 28, then Samson prayed to the Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just, notice what it says, one more time. Notice prayer, it's timid. Notice his prayer. He's wondering if God would ever allow him to return, but God hasn't forgotten. He gets back under the covenant of what God had entrusted him to start with. He gets back at the very end of his life and says, God, I am available once again to trust you. God, I am available to surrender my life back to you. If you're willing to get under the covenant of God, then God will get over what you have given to him. It's interesting. In Judges 13:4, you don't need to turn there, but in Judges 13:4, it's interesting that the blessing that, of his life, that the reason why he even existed, was he was going to be able to topple the nation of the Philistines. He was going to put them down, and he was going to be used by God as the lone person by God to be used to be able to change the entire destiny, the entire world. And now all he is working in a grist mill. All he is going around in circles. And I just want to stop for a second. Maybe life is not everything you thought it would be right now. Maybe when it's all said and done, There's something about your life where you feel like you're going in circles. There's something about your life where you just don't feel complete. You don't feel like things are exactly the way they should have been. Life just keeps circling over and over and over again. And you meet people in this state that look like the people in this state. And this job is like this job. And this relationship's like this relationship. And you keep going over and over and over again. And he prays to God, "Oh, sovereign God. God, I can't control things anymore. God, I can't be sovereign anymore. God, I've managed things and I've mismanaged things. God, you now are sovereign over my life. God, you are sovereign," he says in verse 28. And he goes, "Remember me again. God, is it possible that once I have blown it, God, once I have pulled back from you, that you could strengthen me again, that you could put your favor, that once I return to you my life, and I'm generous with anything I have available, that God, you could be generous back to me again? Is it possible?" And it says his hair starts to grow back. We won't go into the remainder of the story, but what happens is his hair does grow back, and he gets so strong. And one more time, all the Philistine army is in this building, all the leaders there, and he pushes these columns right here, and the whole building topples on top of them. And at the very end of his life, becomes fulfillment of the blessings of God from the very start of his life. And he ends well. And let me tell you something. Your life can end well too. You see, generosity takes place when I place my best of my life back under the authority of God and say, "God, use these things at your disposal. God, you make me aware of how to spend my time. God, you make me aware of how to spend my life. God, you make me aware. God, I just don't want to spend life without making sure that life gets spent well. God, I don't want to spend money without making sure the money gets spent well. God, I don't want to spend my relationships without making sure those relationships are going exactly where you've called me to do and you've intended for them to be." And as you place and surrender your life to God, and listen, when you do it, the blessings of God come on a surrendered life. And when I place my life out from under the blessings of God, I get only what my life can give me. And he says, "Oh, sovereign God, I live to please you. God, I live once again to find favor in your sight. God, I live with the least life I have left over, with anything I have left at your disposal. God, I'm available." At the end of his life, God's blessings come back down over his life. And listen, no matter how much life has been spent up to this far, all you are is one decision and one action step from coming back into the grace and the blessings and the obedience of God. You're closer than you think. In fact, turn to your neighbor next to you and say, "Hey, you're closer than you think." Turn to somebody, "You're closer than you think." Yeah. I just had to shake you up a little bit. You're looking at me too much without... So I had to shake you up a little bit. You're closer than you think. You're one decision followed with an action step. One decision of saying, "God, I've misspent my time. God, that was wrong. God, I say yes to anything that people ask me to say yes to. And I don't pray about decisions that I spend my time to, and so I give my very time to the wrong things, and therefore when something comes available that's around me, I am blind to that because I'm so busy on things that don't matter. I can't see what does matter." But some of y'all are saying, "God, today I'm giving you back my time. God, I'm not going to make any commitments apart from you telling me. I'm going to pray about everything." Some of y'all are saying, "Listen, God, I've spent my money on things that I thought I could control, that I could control them because they would bring pleasure to me. But God, I've overspent on my car. I've overspent on my house. God, I've overspent on my living. God, I've overspent on some other things. And as a result of that, God, those things are managing me. I'm not managing them. I've placed them. I've gotten them out from under your authority. God, I am placing my money back under your authority. God, I will not spend apart from you telling me to spend something. I will not sign on the dotted line apart from your invitation for me to be able to be a part of that. You're saying, God, I'm placing that back underneath you, God, and I'll be available to spend the money the way you want me to spend it, because there's needs of people I've been blind to in the past that you want me to meet. And on and on and on and on. You see, there's a life available, and just as quick as Samson's comeback was, is as quick as your comeback can be. It's a decision followed up with an action step, and that's all he did. He said, God, sovereign God, remember me once again. He was saying, God, I don't got a whole lot left, but what I have is yours. What I have is yours. And God's generosity and blessing followed him. It will be with you as well. I want you to see a scripture just in closing right here, but in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You say, Bruce, is that talking about money? Is this a message about money? No, no, it's way more than money. It is a heart attitude that says, listen, God, everything in my life is at your disposal. And when I do that, watch this. God starts making me aware that my life is a conduit, a channel of his grace towards other people. That my life is a vehicle to be used by God to help the needs and people that before then I had forgotten. I grew up as a child being taught this. It was ingrained in me that my life was meant to be leveraged for the blessing of other people. And so my first house I grew up was 6807 Dixon Avenue, just a couple blocks from here. And there's a single mom that lived across the street there, and I was just 6 years old. My dad said to me, hey, she never needs to mow her lawn ever again. You see her mowing her lawn out there? She has three kids to feed. She has a complicated life. You're going to mow her lawn. I said to him at six, I said, Dad, how much do you think she'll pay me? And he said, pay you? She's not going to pay you. If she asks for money, you tell her you won't take money because you're her neighbor. So you know what I did? I placed my body at six under the sovereign responsibility and control of God. I placed my time, I placed the gas, I placed the mower under the control of God. And I said, God, I want to be a vehicle to be used by you. And God says, you know, you might be able to help change her life and her family's life, Bruce. And at six, I got it. At six, I got it. Jimmy, at 6 years old, I just crazed. I got it. I got my life could be more than just getting something for myself. And so I went over there, knocked on the door, and said, hey, you're my neighbor, and I got the lawnmower going. I'm going to mow your lawn. And she said, okay. And she said, I mowed it a couple different weeks in a row, and then the summer. And then she said, hey, by the way, I remember this. She said, I was six. She said, by the way, you're missing a patch on the back right there, you know. And so I said, okay. So anyway, you know, I thought, okay. My dad said, what did she say to you? I said, well, I'm missing a patch on the back. And he goes, well, you ought to think about edging it too. And so, you know, we started doing other things right there, because guess what? And then there was a lady down the street. In fact, I passed by her yard the other day. At six, it was huge. As an adult, it's humongous. I can't believe it. And my dad said, we're going to help her out also. And then there's other people we helped out. And there's a family catty corner to us. And they needed some help. And so God used me to be able to help them. And you know, here's the deal. I grew up realizing my life was not to be self-consumed, realizing my life was to be a conduit of the grace of God. So when a friend of mine in college needed a sum of money to stay in college, it wasn't as big of a deal for me. He said, I'll pay you back. And I said, no, this It's just a gift. It's not mine anyway. And then a circumstance happened where we had the opportunity to help a church grow to another level several years ago. And I heard they had a need for $5,000. And I said, God, it's in mine anyway. And so I invested the $5,000 to help that church grow. And then there's another church that Heather and I were a part of, and at one point they needed $10,000 to reach a whole new generation of teenagers for Christ. And a friend of mine said to me, what do you think God's telling you to give? And God just spoke to me, you ought to give $10,000. I thought, God, that's ridiculous. I'd have to take that out of my savings. And you don't want to touch my savings, do you? And what happens if I starve later on in life? Then God said to me, then you'll die and go to heaven. And so, do you have a problem with that? I said, no, I don't have a problem with dying and going to heaven. And so we gave the $10,000. And I could tell you story after story. By the way, remember Luke 6:38? That money I gave that guy, just remember this, give and it shall be given to you. About 15 years later, after college, he came to me just out of the clear blue. And he says, God told me to do this. I don't know why. And he gave me back in cash 20 times what I gave him in college. Isn't that amazing, Kevin? He goes, somehow God just told me to give this back to you. Give, it'll be given to you. The good it says, it's given, it should be given to you. And then it says, pressed down, running over. The measure you use, he says, I'll measure it back to you. You see, you can't imagine what your life story will be when generosity comes to play. Jesus loved generosity.